So if he hadn't trained for so many years, if he hadn't put in the hard work, he would have never been there. Like, in all likelihood, if that moment hadn't happened, he would have come last in that race. But that doesn't mean if you're coming last in that race that you don't even go to the race.
This is episode number 1 of Keep Me Inspired podcast show with Gaurav Shinde.
Welcome guys to Keep Me Inspired. My name is Shivatman Shanai and I am your host for this show. Every 15 days I will be interviewing today's most inspiring and successful personalities who will range from CEOs, YouTubers, authors and other change makers in order to help you to make early life changing decisions and realize your true worth.
Gaurav Shinde is just an ordinary man like you and me with extraordinary dreams. He came to Canada in 2015, earning his MBA at AV Business School at Western University. He worked for Google for 4 years and is currently working in digital marketing with 3M in London. Gaurav Shinde was born and brought up in Mumbai, India, in a very humble family. He started sailing after joining the Sea Cadet Corps as a sailor at the age of 11. No one in his family had ever been to sea. In fact, his parents had never stepped on a sailboat till date. Such was his background. Far from the crowded city of Mumbai, he found peace at sea, sometimes going out sailing to study for his exams. In 2015, he moved to London, Ontario, and made it his home ever since. He is the first Indian selected to crew in the prestigious Clipper Round the World Yacht Race starting in July 2013. Though London does not have the big lakes near it, he planned to launch his challenge to win the Golden Globe race from there. In 2013-14, he sailed the Clipper Round the World Yacht Race, racing more than 16,000 miles at sea, going through storms and more than 40 feet seas. Even a climb up to Mount Everest or an entry in an Ironman doesn't quite offer the same challenge as the competition Shinde is gearing up for, the Golden Globe Race 2022. With more than 20,000 nautical miles of ocean racing experience, Gaurav Shinde, an Indian-born management professional, is representing Canada and India in the Golden Globe Race 2022. Golden Globe Race is a solo boat race across the world continuously for 9 months without using any means of modern technology. There have been so many casualties and 50-50 chances of coming back alive from this race. Gaurav Shinde is throwing everything he has entering the Golden Globe Race, which will be conducted in September 4 in 2022. So I am gonna have a direct conversation with this legend. So wear your earphones or headphones and enjoy our conversation.
Welcome to our show, Keep Me Inspired. Thank you for being on this show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rishiva. Really nice to be here and I look forward to chatting with you more.
Gaurav, how's the weather there in Canada?
It reminds me of Bombay and it's raining really bad and it's just raining, one day cold, one day warm. So it's funny, but yeah, it's just typical October and hopefully it'll become a better for a few weeks and then the snow starts.
Yeah, do you still miss India?
Oh, of course. I think last night I went to an Indian restaurant and ate vada pav and it was not the same like it is in Mumbai. So I absolutely miss having the food on the streets over there, and it's just people around you who are like you.
Gaurav, this show is mainly focused for students who are just starting out in their life, or just pursuing their college or whatever they are studying, and there are some things like they wish to achieve, like some things which are fed to you and some things which you really want to do. So can you just give us some insight on how was your life like growing up?
Oh, my life growing was like a normal Indian kid. My parents wanted me to do engineering or something in science. And I did end up doing a diploma in mechanical engineering after my 10th. But that's where I went to a hostel, and that's where the whole rebel in me came out, where I started getting exposed to a lot more things. Of course, the bad things and the good things. And that paved a way for me in life. When I was doing engineering, there was like a college. Our college had a magazine which came out every year. So I went and wrote for it. And once I wrote for it, I found out I had a really good way with words. So I started writing a lot. And that got me into journalism. So I dropped out of engineering, and then I went and completed my journalism degree. And at the same time, I was also doing sailing, which I had given up. I wanted to be in the Olympics one day, but I had given up on my sailing dream at all. But because I was in college and I had some more free time, I started doing sailing by myself. And now it's become a very big part of me, where I've won so many awards and national championships. And now I find, like, I was the first person in my family to travel and live abroad and study abroad. So even that came out of that, where I saw others doing it. And it was a challenge because we didn't have the money for education. But I found ways through my contacts and through people I knew on how I could finance it. So it was a lot of trial and error, and it was a lot of just doing things which just got me there. I did some right things, I did some bad things. There were nights I got drunk and did things in a college which I shouldn't have done. But it was all part of a learning experience. I messed up many times. I sometimes did not submit my projects on time. It all taught me things in life that carried me through. And now when I look back, I think there are small lessons that you take from that, and that those are helping me to make the right decisions now in life.
What are your learnings from your initial mistakes? And what kind of mistakes did you do? And what are the steps did you take to initially to make your dreams into reality?
I think one of the first, like the earlier mistakes was just thinking that just because you scored good marks in your 10th, that you should go for science. I went for engineering, and then I didn't really like it as much. I think a lot of us think that if you get good, very good marks, you go to science, and if you don't get good marks, you go to commerce or arts. But being from the arts side, now I can tell you arts is as difficult. And it opens up so many more things that we don't. One thing I really learned from going into arts and then being journalism is reading books. We don't stress so much on reading books during our school days, where we read our textbooks and everything, but we don't read literature as much because it's not very, it's not a big part of our Indian upbringing. And that really changes your perspective when you grow up. I think now when I have gotten into the habit of reading books, there are so many things you learn from experiences of those characters in the books, which you would have gotten at a very young age if we were reading books. So now I try to push myself, and my every morning my schedule. I read one chapter of a book I'm reading every morning and then read as much as I can in the evening. But every morning before starting, I have to read one chapter of a book. And that really helps to set the tone for a day. And you start your day with learning something new. And you don't start your day with just checking your phone, checking TikTok or checking Snapchat or Instagram, but reading something, which is various. It gets your mind juice. Like how before you are going to eat, you eat an appetizer. So before you start your day, I read one chapter of a book, which starts the juices of life flowing. And then that makes my day really well.
So books were your initial friends?
Oh, they were not my friends. I used to hate reading. I think I took up the habit of reading only when I was in my second year of journalism. And before that, I didn't read at all. And that was something that I regret, that books weren't a part of my life.
Bro, the dream, like the things you are doing right now, not everyone are as confident to achieve or move towards the direction. Like I saw your mini podcast where you speak about memories are greater than dreams. Can you just explain more about that? What do you mean by those lines?
Yeah, so in 2022, I'm going to go sailing around the world solo nonstop on a sailboat. In 2013 and 14, I went as the part of a team to sail halfway around the world. Even before that, I think what I say, which is memories are greater than dreams. It's about the fact that we all dream a lot. We all dream about doing things. We all dream about becoming the richest man in the world. We all dream about driving an F1 car, but some of us will never achieve the dream. But the point is, you shouldn't stop at dreaming. You should dream. You should dream a lot. But you should remember that the dreams just remain dreams. So if you die tomorrow, the dream you had has no significance because it was just a dream. It was just a thought. But if you have achieved even a part of it, it will be a big thing because then it will be a memory which will be associated to your memory and your life for however long people remember you. And that's what I mean by memories are greater than dreams. So now it's like Elon Musk talks about going to Mars. Will he himself go to Mars? No. Do we know if his company will reach Mars before he's dead? We don't know. But the point is, he set into motion something that will take us to Mars eventually. And that will be a memory of Elon Musk when he's dead. And that is important. If you've seen the movie Troy, when Achilles is standing on outside Troy and going into battle, he says, they ask him, why are you doing this? You're going to die for sure. And he says, men, when they die, they are remembered by their sons and probably one more generation after that, but they are forgotten. But because Achilles fought in the Battle of Troy, he will be remembered for generations and generations, and he's still remembered. In the story of Troy is synonymous with what Achilles did. And that is important. If you want to leave a legacy behind, you surely should have dreams, but those dreams should be on the way to becoming a memory. And that's important.
Bro, how did your initial interest of adventure begin? Like going back to your college days, how did you prioritize everything?
Yeah, so when I was a child, so my grandfather on my mother's side, he used to live in Pune, and our house was right next to a big hill. And he would take me climbing every morning. Every morning he would make me climb the hill. And it was actually, there was a vertical cliff also, and then he would make me climb without a rope or any safety. And luckily I never fell while doing that. But that was my first initial exposure of adventure. And then he would take me on hikes. So that really sparked it. And then because of that, I became somewhat of someone who does things by himself. So that changed. And then when I went into the hostel and I had all this free time and I didn't have parents breathing down my neck, I started joining trekking groups, nature groups, and then sailing came along where when I joined sailing, it was just the best thing ever. It was difficult to prioritize. You make some time. So the point is, you know, when you are studying for your parents, your marks are important and you passing is important. So you do that. So you make sure you do that right. And then make free time for yourself to do whatever you want. So if your parents, of course, they want 90% of the time, it's not going to happen. But if you give them at least 80% or even 75 or something that is manageable for you, give them that. And then the rest of the time you can do whatever you want. So if you keep your parents happy, you can do everything that you want. And that's what I did. My parents was not always happy though. But I was passing, I was getting my marks, and I was doing things. So they were happy, and they were more happy that I was doing things like sailing and trekking and climbing versus doing drugs or alcohol or something like that. And you have to explain it to them, saying, I'm doing these things and I'm not doing these things, not doing bad things, and I'm studying. So please give me that space for me to do what I want. And luckily, my parents were understanding, more than understanding. They were just too busy in their work and life. They were working 6 and 8 hours a day. So that was the good part for me, because both of my parents were working. No one was actually keeping an eye on what I was doing. But make sure like your family and those part, like your family is funding your education and everything else. So make sure they are happy enough to let you do other things. And make expectations clear with them. You can't always get 90. You can't always get 80. And I passed my 12th with 54. Passed my graduation with 66 percent. But I still got a job at Google. I still went abroad to study in one of the best colleges in Canada. So it is doable. So it's about explaining to them, because their point of view is very, very small. They think that if you get 90 or 99, that's the only time you will get good admission or a good job. And that is not true. So it is just finding that for them, because they don't have the exposure. And once you do that, their thinking will change and you will have the room for doing what you want to.
Mm-hmm. So you mean we have to keep our parents happy by continuing our studies, and simultaneously, you know, leisure time we can do whatever we are passionate about?
Yes, absolutely. I think education, so people think, so for me, I left engineering, but people think that engineering does not teach you anything. But I will be very honest that it teaches you a lot. It teaches you how to think. Nothing you learn in your 3 years or 4 years of graduation is something that will help you, that will be directly related to what job you will have in life or what you will end up doing in life. But the point is, those 3 or 4 years will teach you things. That education will lay the foundation for whatever you do. You can do engineering and you can still go into finance. But the point is, you can go into finance after engineering because your quant is so strong. And you can go from arts to anywhere else because your economics and all those things are so strong. So it's about understanding that however much you hate that part, it is going to help you someday in life. So do it. Regardless of how bad you feel about it, how bad you feel your colleges or your teachers are, it is something that is going to help you someday or the other in life.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
Yes.
Bro, your grandfather first introduced you to adventure. Can you tell me some of the learnings you get from your grandfather?
Yeah, my grandfather was an interesting character. I think the biggest learning I have from him is he never stopped me from doing whatever, and he never stopped me from dreaming. We were poor. We didn't have as much money. We probably didn't have the means to doing things, but he said, just try, start thinking about things, and you will find a way to do it. And that is what happened. Like, I don't have the money to do this sailing. When I was, I wanted to join the sailing club, I did not have money. But what I did was I made t-shirts for my engineering mechanical department and sold those t-shirts. And the money that came from that, I made ₹1,200 from that. And those ₹1,200 became my membership fees, because my father was not going to give me the money for that. So yeah, that happened. So it's you find a way, and that's what he taught me. Yeah, he was also a very big proponent of writing a diary. He said, write a diary all the time so that you have stories to look back to, you have memories, and people will remember you, and you will also can go back in history and see what your diary has written, what you've written in your diary, and what you've learned from your diary. So that you don't, like, if when I do my 8 months alone at sea, a lot of the memories that I make will be only mine, which I cannot really express to you or anyone else. But the point is, if I write it down, at least there will be a remote idea that some small thing that happened that I can tell you about it. Otherwise, you will never know what small things or what struggles I went through. I can just say, oh, I had big waves and it was a struggle. But if I don't write it down, I won't be able to explain it to you at all. And I won't even remember it myself, because I just felt it and it just became part of my life. But it has to come out and become a learning for you, or something that you can get from what I have done. So, yeah, I think people should start writing a diary. It's difficult. It's very hard to keep doing it. And now there are like apps you can use where you can record yourself. So do that. I think that will really help you.
Bro, can you tell about the health and mental issues that you spoke about in a different podcast?
Yeah, I think, as I said, it's like for our parents and everything, education is more important, and that will overrule everything that you want to do. You might want to become a very big artist, or you want to become something else, but they will always keep focusing on the other things. And that really takes a mental toll on you. So you have to look out for places where you can vent, where you can really get help. So you should always do that. Mentally, it's very challenging. For me in sailing, it's being 9 months alone at sea is going to be very difficult. But you have to get used to being with yourself. I think talking to yourself. It's habits that you have to do create in your life that help you go through mental health issues. I think every one of us will have mental health issues once in our lives. When we have kids, we won't be able to sleep for 6-8 months till the kid grows up. When we get laid off from a job, we will not be able to sleep because we won't have money to feed ourselves or our families. So at that time, it's more important to seek help. Just talk to someone. And if someone does not understand, there'll be someone else who will understand. And don't give up. Don't take yourself to the point where you start not believing in yourself. So, yeah, I think the best way is to talk to people. It's to find people and surround yourself with people who will listen to you, who will give you advice. And even if they don't give you advice, some people will just listen to you and give you their perspective of how things are, and take those multiple perspectives. So just exercising your brain is very important. That's why I said reading books is amazing. It will give you perspective, and it will give you a place where you can lose yourself.
Mm-hmm. So you read a lot of books. So every morning you read books?
Yes.
Like, what kind of books do you read? Non-fiction?
Oh, yeah. Mostly I read nonfiction. I try to read more about what I'm going to do next. So if I'm going to do sailing next, that's why I'm reading sailing books now. If I'm going to do climbing, I will try to go and read some mountain climbing books or something like that. But otherwise, I'll just read something that is interesting, a crime novel or some, like when this pandemic started, I started reading about the pandemic and previous pandemics, because I did not know there was a Spanish flu in 1918. So I started reading about that and how that unfolded. So yeah, it is that. And then you read some fiction as well, some books here and there, which really help you. I avoid self-help books, because they do not give you anything new. All the books that give you like self-help advice, they are all it's all available on YouTube and all those things, and it's a waste of your time. So I think the best way is just read something that probably you are doing, or read something that you are not connected to at all. Something like a fantasy novel, or there is something like a space fiction novel, which really gives you a completely different perspective, completely out of the world, completely things that you cannot think of that would ever happen, a new dimension, because then it takes you away from what you are doing in day-to-day life. And that way you get to relax away from all the things that are happening in your day-to-day. Like, you get to relax away from the politics, from all the nonsense going around the country, the virus and everything. So yeah, so it's different times for different books, but all books are good except for self-help books. They don't help you at all.
Bro, how is your preparation going on for Golden Globe Race 2022?
Oh, it's in full steam. So after this recording, I'm going to leave and go to the boat and start working on the boat. So that is there. And I'm also learning about celestial navigation to navigate with the stars. So that will that's what is happening. And hopefully this winter I will get to work on the boat a bit more, get some sponsorship as well. And then next summer, I will just go all out and practice like hell so that I'm ready for the race in 2022.
Bro, nowadays, everyone are like having a secured job, having a secured lifestyle, like getting into a job. And even though you had a job like Google, which is a dream for many, many people, how did you manage to quit everything and go all into your dreams? Like, what made you to trust in yourself, even though everyone around you won't encourage you to leave everything and go?
Yeah, people don't encourage you as much, because it's become a very normal thing that you have a job, you have kids, you have family, you get married and everything is done. But for me, I just, you know, there was a self-belief that after 10th standard, I did go and went into diploma. I dropped out and I did my degree by myself. And then I did all these small things like sailing and selling t-shirts and selling this and doing that. Did part-time jobs. I wrote for Times of India for some time as a freelance journalist. Then I used to write articles for random blogs on the internet to make some money. I also worked in a restaurant when I was in my summer vacations. And, you know, after that, I just believed in myself that I can do anything I want to do. And that's why when I thought about doing this, it was like, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. So you will never get that again. And this is how people will remember me. And that's why I just jumped in. I just said, fuck this. And I will start doing this. And whatever has to happen will fall in place. And it does not always fall in place. You have to struggle. You don't have money. Right now, I don't have the money to complete my race, but I am. But it's 1 year away, so I believe I can get the money, and I'm trying everyone. I'm asking everyone I can to help me with that. So it's just you just go in with the belief that you can get out of it, and then always have a plan, backup plan as well. Sometimes you shouldn't have a backup plan because then you rely on your backup plan. But sometimes you should have a backup plan because there are people who are like my mother and father are relying on me for their money, for money. Yeah, just go in and figure out what to do and what not to do. And it's all about experience. Like last time when I left Google for doing that race, the smaller race, I learned a lot of things. I learned how to make find money, how to crowdfund. And those things. So now next step is this big one where I have those learnings from last time. So I know what to do right and what not to do to get things to happen properly this time. So yeah, it's that, and sometimes you just jump in and you just start doing things and then things fall in place.
Bro, there is a 50-50 chance that you are gonna make it or not. Even though in a situation like this, how do you keep yourself going forward? What kind of questions do you ask yourself? And how do you keep yourself motivated in this journey of complete uncertainty?
I see, as you said, there is complete uncertainty in that. So I don't even know what's coming for me. And no one who's competing in that race knows what is going to happen out there, which storm is going to come, how much wind is going to be there, how big the waves are going to be. So you just prepare for yourself for every worst case scenario. Make a list of everything that can go wrong, everything that can be problematic for you, and you make a contingency plan for that. I've just written down every scenario that I could face, and I'm still discovering more scenarios that could happen. Every day I work on the boat, I find something new, and at that point when I'm working on the boat and I'm finding out these things, it develops self-belief that you can do it, and the belief that everything is in place. And once that happens, you have learned enough to go out there and do it, and then figure out a solution for everything. And then if something goes wrong, even after that, I think, as you said, it's a 50-50 chance that I'll make it. So that is a chance you have to take. So I could be in the good 50%, I could be in the bad 50%, but now I think that I will be in the good 50%. So go in prepared like that. Go in positively. The questions I ask myself is why I want to do it. The answer is very simple. I want to do it because this is my legacy. This is how I'm going to inspire people, and this is what I've always wanted to do. So when that's the answer, and I'm doing it for my family, I'm doing it for myself, and I'm doing it for my community, and I'm doing it from both of my countries, India and Canada. And then there have my answer that this is something that is I have to do. So yeah, just plan, prepare, and persevere.
So you enjoy your everyday, like you enjoy uncertainty.
No, I do not enjoy uncertainty. Uncertainty is a certain part of life which you have to accept. I like to, whenever I'm traveling somewhere, I like to have a plan, and I like to know where I'm going and how I'm going there, and how I make a plan for everything. So yeah, I don't like uncertainty, but this is an uncertainty you have to accept in life. Like we all have that uncertainty that every time we fly a plane, the plane might crash or the bus might overturn. Basically every time in India, when we travel in a rickshaw, we know the rickshaw driver don't know what he's going to do, or he's drunk or anything. So that kind of uncertainty we handle. So that kind of is fine. So you just live with that.
So what are your, if you want to tell some student some of the lessons to keep in their mind before taking toughest decisions of their life, what will it be?
I think what you have to do is you have to start thinking about why do you want to do what you want to do? And then the second is how it's going to affect you and everyone around you. And however much we want to think about ourselves, the thing you have to start thinking about your parents, your family, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your everyone around you, and start how it's going to affect them. And I think those two questions will give you the answer of why, how, and why not, or why should you do something, give up everything and do something. One thing that you shouldn't ask yourself is, what if I fail? If you start thinking about what if I fail, then you will just keep going down that rabbit hole of thinking about everything and every way in which you will fail. Instead of that, think about how you will succeed and how success is going to change everything for everyone, for you, for everyone around you. So if you ask those questions to yourself and you have a good feeling about what you're thinking, go do it. Like, have a healthy disregard for the impossible. Like, you should not disregard something completely, but you should also know that, are you capable of doing it? And are you sure about doing it? So, yeah, nothing is impossible, but don't just disregard something that is impossible as possible just because you think you can. Not be, it's like, I'm sailing around the world because I know I have the experience and I have spent some time sailing, so I can go out and do it. If I was someone who was just learning sailing today and I had to go sail around the world solo, yes, can I do it? Yes, probably I can do it. I can get the experience in the next 2 years. But should I? I probably shouldn't, because then I should give some more time and years to see all the scenarios that would come in sailing that someone like me has learned from 20 years of sailing.
According to you, how much time is required to get that experience to sail around the world successfully?
See, people have done that in without experience. People have just gone out and done it. People have people with 50 years of experience haven't done it. So there is no certain date. It's when you feel you're right, when you feel you've seen everything, when you feel that you've experienced all the good and the bad of it. And yeah, you have to wait for that. You can't just start climbing Mount Everest without ever having climbed a small mountain. That doesn't mean you can't. You probably can, because if you're physically fit and etc. But the point is, you have to experience it. You have to find out if you enjoy it, if that is something that you want to do. If you like, if you learn sailing today and tomorrow you want to sail around the world, you don't even know if you are going to be able to do that, or if you even will enjoy that. So first go for 5 days, first then go for 10 days, then go for a month. And then if you feel that, okay, I can last out at sea for so many days, like I should probably do around the world. So it's about that. It's about getting the feeling. It's about knowing what you are going to go into and not just blindly going into something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bro, you said about going all into your dreams and be known for being the seventh person to travel around the world solo without any technology. But when you have some family and someone to look back up to, how did you manage to convince them that even they love you so much, even if it's not for you, for them, they will at least protect you and try to make you not to go sailing because there is a chance of dying. How did you manage to convince them and like, you know what I'm trying to say?
I know my mother is very scared that I might not come back or something might happen to me 9 months alone at sea. But the point is, she like from these so many years of me sailing and going out there and doing things, she has learned that I am capable and I am good enough and I know what I'm doing. And that is why they feel okay with letting me do what I want to do. And at the end of the day, it's my life. It's about me achieving what I always wanted to achieve. And they understand that. And I think I have explained to them that this is what I was born for. And this is what I was made for. And that's why they accept it. It's a risk they do not enjoy or they do not appreciate, but they accept because they know that that is my way of being myself. And I know it's very difficult to find parents like that. And it was not easy for me either, but it was years and years of just showing them that I'm capable. Like I did small trips, sailed from Bombay to Goa, I sailed from Lakshadweep and all those places. And then they were sure that when I go out there, I'm going to make the right decisions and I'm going to do the right thing. And I'm going to make sure that I survive. And that's why they accept this risk and they are okay with me doing it.
Brother, imagine this should never happen, but if this happened, if you just have 1 month to live, how will you spend your 1 month?
I will just spend my time with my family. I don't think there is any place in this world that is worth it or anything that is even more enjoyable than being with my mom and dad and everyone in my life and my cousins and my brothers and sisters and wife and everyone. I don't think there's anything I would do. I think other than just see them every day, spend time with them, let them know that I love them and they were the best part of my life.
Do you carry any regret with you till date?
Oh, and there are lots of regrets in life. It's a long list of regrets that I have. And I cannot change it. So, yeah.
So, that brings us to the end of our show. And thank you so much for sharing your stories and your journey. We wish you all the very best for Golden Globe Race 2022. And we will have our next interview when you are holding your trophy because we believe in you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that you saying that and having me on your podcast, like the first person on your podcast also. I hope I win it. I hope I see. I don't not even just come on your podcast, probably come and see you in India when I'm with my trophy there.
Brother, if anyone want to connect with you, how can they connect with you?
I think the best way to connect with me is my website, gaurav shinde.com. You can also check out my Facebook, which is Gaurav Shinde Ocean Racing. And I am on Instagram as well. All three places, best place to connect with me. If anyone wants to talk to me, have any questions, please feel free to write to me through my website. I'll be very happy. I answer all my emails, all my messages. Even if I don't answer them right away, I'll answer them in some time, but I will never let a message go unread. So yeah, that's the best. Facebook email and website, Facebook, Instagram and website are the best places to reach me.
Bro, how do you open up to new people? Like I'm doing something like this for the first time and I am quite an introverted kind of guy.
I'm also an introvert completely. I am what you call a social introvert. So whenever it's required or people who are nice, like people I want to be with, then I'm extroverted. But otherwise, like I am at home all the time. I don't go out to do anything. So don't stress yourself. Just do what you feel like and be with people you like. That's all.
So I wanted to learn.
Know what you should do? You should find a mentor for yourself.
For this thing. What I am doing right now. Like I am...
For everything.
For everything.
No, not for just for this podcast or something else or some other work that you do or a college or something. It's just someone in life in general who you can just talk to all the time and bounce your ideas off. Even if they don't know anything about it, they will have some advice here and there. So like even like the biggest, like Brad Pitt and all, they also have mentors. They also have coaches who help them. It's like my wife has a coach for, so she is into real estate. She buys properties and everything. So she has a coach for that also. A coach who will just keep an eye and keep telling her what she's doing right, what she's doing wrong, how it is affecting her mentally or something like that. So it's very difficult. It's not a concept very, this thing in India, but, you will probably find someone on Fiverr or something. It's called a life coach. And it's something good to have in life. And it's not even now. It's even when you become a CEO of a company, you should have one, because when you become like a big guy, then you don't think, you don't introspect, you don't think much. You don't think about what is happening with the world or everyone else. So when you have someone who's telling you what is happening, and how you are behaving with others or something like that, it really helps.
Like a outer perspective.
Yes.
Bro, that guy should have accomplished what we want to accomplish, or even if he... No.
Any normal person. Yeah, so we have our parents to do that, but they're our parents, so we will never listen to them. So it's someone, like it could be your uncle, or it could be some neighborhood uncle who is very smart and just is able to tell you straight what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong. And someone who has no bias, but like if you don't go out to your uncle, he will say, go and do studies and don't do all this nonsense. But yeah, leave that aside. But someone who's neutral, who's not for you or even against you.
Like who wishes good for me.
He wishes good for you, but he is not like do this or do that. I will just tell you what you are doing is going in the right direction or not.
During such times when I don't feel motivated, how to keep going, bro? Like,
no one can help you with that, man. Even I don't feel motivated. I have to go today to the boat and I'm totally not motivated. I was supposed to be at the boat at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now it's 11:15. And now I will reach at the boat at 3 p.m. I was actually supposed to go to the boat yesterday. And today I'm still here.
Like, no matter how much we are interested, there is a point of saturation, you say.
Yeah, there's a point of saturation. There's a point where you just struggle. You just don't want to do something. It's just effort. Like, for me, going to the boat is a very big effort. But when I go to the boat, I'm fine. Uh-huh. When I go to the boat, I'll do whatever I have to do on the boat.
Just that but journey is hard.
That effort of going there, driving all the way, is work. Like, I don't know. When I was in college, I used to travel 2 hours by train to go sailing. That never bothered me. Now I have to drive just 45 minutes in my fancy car and I still struggle.
Like, I wanted to do this even though this is difficult and I have to explore many new people.
Yeah, you should totally do it. Yeah, like, don't... Like, see... Even this channel, which this podcast you start now, like my episode will get 10 views, 20 views. The next episode will get 20, 25 views. After that, you'll get an episode where you'll get 5 views also. Only 5 views. But it will take, like there are people who have YouTube channels who have taken 4 and 5 years to even get to 1,000 subscribers. But once, like it takes some time, but once it gets up there, then you will just skyrocket. So don't stop after you fail at 10, 15, 20. Keep doing. Make it a habit. Keep doing. Like even random people who are just very simple, keep doing. Even if you are not finding someone for to interview, just find someone, keep doing it. Normal people, no one will listen. Someday one episode will click and then everything will go right. See, it's in life. It is about like, yeah, everything that good happens in life is right place, right time. But they never come together. So you have to find one way. Either you get to the right place and wait for the right time to come. But if you're in the right time and you're not at the right place, you're not going to help any. Nothing's going to happen.
So you have to be in the right place first, and the right time will come by itself. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so there is a ice skater. You should look him up on Google. Stephen Bradbury.
Stephen Bradbury. Okay.
Stephen Bradbury. He's Australian. So he went to 3 Olympics. Never came in the top 10. And then he had a big accident right before the Olympics. But he broke his neck and everything right before the Olympics. But he got his exercise, physiotherapy, everything done, and became right and came to the Olympics. And he was coming last in every race. Mm-hmm. In the prelim stages of the Olympics, he was coming last. In the semi-final, in the quarterfinal and semi-final, he was again last. But, right, out of the 20 laps that he had, on the 18th lap, everyone in front of him fell down.
Uh-huh.
So he finished there. The finished in front. Then he went to the finals. Then into the finals, again, he was like, all the Americans and Koreans and Chinese were like really fast, and Germans, they're all going fast ground, and he's in the back. He's last. After the 8 people, he's last. And trust me, after that entire run, on the last lap, on the last corner, like 50 meters from the finish line, they all had an accident. Everyone fell, and he just passed through. And he won the gold medal.
Like, miracles do happen.
That is not a miracle. That is not a miracle. It is not a miracle at all. It is his hard work. See, he had been skating for 20 years. He had been exercising every day for 20 years. He was on the top of this game to be in the Olympics for 20 years. 1 year before the Olympics, he had broken his neck. He came back from that. He participated. He qualified for the Olympics. And then through this entire process, he stayed there. The point is, he put in the effort. There was an exercise. It's not like you and me. We don't even know skating. We started running around and we went to the finals of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Getting to the finals is a very big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting to the finals is 20 years of hard work. And 20 years of hard work. And after that, you have one moment of luck. It doesn't matter. That luck does not count. It's all your hard work of 20 years that is getting rewarded with in that one medal. That medal is not for that one moment of luck when everyone falls down. So you have to go through that journey of 20 years first before that medal happens for some people. So you have to keep doing it. You can't stop. If you stop, then you will never even get that moment of luck.
Yeah, yeah. That is,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise you won't be at that spot where that luck happens.
So if he hadn't trained for so many years, if he hadn't put in the hard work, he would have never been there. Like, in all likelihood, if that moment hadn't happened, he would have come last in that race. But that doesn't mean if you're coming last in that race that you don't even go to the race.
You have to keep going and wait for that one moment which clicks.
Yeah.
Okay, bro. Thank you. Thank you once again.
Thanks for having me, Shiva. I really appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, guys, for listening to my show. I am so happy that you invested your time with learning something new with me today. I will be doing such interviews every 15 days. So if you want to get updates, do follow me on whatever platform you are right now. And also you can share your feedback on my Instagram. I am the brand myself. You can write your questions directly to me by keepmeinspiredpodcast@gmail.com. So now it's the time to go out and live your fullest potential. Because if you follow someone, if you be like everyone else, then who will be you, my friend?